May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how many orange cars did you see on your last drive? How many orange cars did you see maybe on the way here to church this morning? Or driving between your home and work this week? Or how many orange cars did you see when you were out running errands? One or two, maybe? Maybe even zero orange cars? When I read this question at the beginning of an article by a biblical scholar earlier this week, my answer was zero. I've seen zero orange cars. Orange is not a common car color. I had seen zero orange cars. Now, how about in our gospel reading this morning? Did you see any orange cars there? Probably not, right? Because not only is orange not a particularly common car color, we usually don't see orange cars in our gospel reading, which is, after all, an ancient story from our scripture. And our story today is one that we sometimes go through the whole year without hearing, except for on Good Friday. It's a pretty gruesome scene before us. Jesus has already at this point been brought before the chief priests and then Pilate. He has been sentenced to crucifixion to meet the religious leaders' demands. He has been flogged, beaten, mocked, and spit on. And now he's been led to a place outside the city, a place used as a dump. And he and two other criminals are nailed to wood and hoisted up high for all to see their suffering and death. Crucifixion was a method of execution used by the Roman Empire and by other empires, and it was usually reserved for those who were seen as insurrectionists or as plotting against the powers that be. It was not an uncommon form of execution either. In the years around Jesus' death, thousands of Jewish people were executed that way, and it was devised to be an especially shameful sort of execution for the executed and for their families. Not only was the death supposed to be slow and painful, but it was meant to leave no remains behind. Bodies were left on crosses until the wild animals disposed of them. And loved ones didn't even have a body left to bury. This seems like a pretty odd reading, given all of that, for Christ the King Sunday. It's Christ the King, after all, right? We put those crowns on our heads with the kids. It's Christ the King. Shouldn't there be some sort of fanfare? Angels, the gates of heaven, trumpets, glory, some sort of miracle or honor or something. After all, we know about the glory of God, don't we? It's testified to in Scripture all throughout Jesus' life. From the Annunciation, when an angel appears to Mary to tell her that she will bear the Son of God, to all the heavenly chorus appearing before the shepherds on the night of his birth, to the magi who come with those kingly presents, those gifts fit only for a king, to the healings and the miracles that Jesus performs throughout his life that demonstrate the power of God. And in the end, we know that it's Easter morning, not Good Friday, that has the last word, when God triumphs over sin and death and evil once and for all. So why the crucifixion? Why this gruesome, sad, and shameful scene? Why is our attention directed here on Christ the King Sunday? To a common and shameful death, a moment of pain and agony for Jesus, of confusion and fear for his followers, a moment that looks like utter defeat rather than victory. Why? Because Jesus is a different sort of king. His throne is the cross. His crown isn't shiny. He doesn't demand to be served, but rather serves others. And when, along with that thief on the cross beside him, when we recognize Jesus' kingship here in this painful, bitter, sad, scary moment, when we can see the glory of God in this, it reveals something about who God really is. That Jesus is the king not only of Easter Sunday, but of not so good Fridays too. That Jesus is a king who is willing to be identified with those who are unjustly killed or executed. That Jesus is a king who identifies with those who are put down and trampled on by world powers and by religious people. That Jesus is a king who identifies with those who are so poor they don't even have a grave to call their own. That Jesus is a king who uses up his last breath not to give a royal decree or condemn or seek revenge, but in forgiveness, in solidarity, and in love. And when we recognize Jesus' kingship here in this painful, bitter, sad, scary moment, when we can see the glory of God in this, it helps us to see the kingdom of God any and everywhere. So, how many orange cars did you see on your last drive? When I first read that article asking me about orange cars, my answer was zero. But in the days since reading that article, I have seen a dozen orange cars. Since Monday afternoon, I have seen 12 orange cars. I'm not kidding, while driving around Hicksville, 12 orange cars. Once you start looking for orange cars, you start to see them everywhere. Looking for signs of Christ and his kingdom is a little bit like looking for orange cars. Once you start looking for them, you might realize that you actually see them already all the time, if only you'd notice them. And yes, sometimes those glimpses of the kingdom of God are in a beautiful sunset, or in a child's laughter, or in a wonderful holiday spent with family and friends. But Jesus is not only the king of beautiful sunsets and children's laughter and wonderful holidays. Jesus is the king who chooses to join us in the darkest moments of our lives. Jesus is the king of rainy, cold mornings and angry tears and things that we wish we hadn't said or done and hurts that we didn't even know we've caused and lonely days and difficult transitions and even death itself. Jesus is the king who has come to be with us in all the most difficult moments of our lives, to meet us here, to serve us here, and to offer us again the good news that even and perhaps especially in these times, we have been redeemed by the king's work on the cross. Equipped with this vision of Christ the king on the cross, we now get to share that good news too, because it's not just about recognizing the orange cars. It's not just about recognizing the kingdom. It's about pointing it out, shouting it out, and joining in the work that helps all of God's beloved children know that kingdom too. How might Jesus use you in someone else's darkest day to bring the kingdom of God to them? What stranger might be welcomed by you? What sick might be healed and comforted? What oppressed person might go free? Sinners forgiven, poor receive good news. This is the good work we are called to do when we remember that we are part of a kingdom which Advent will remind us we are still waiting to arrive, but which is still even now already among us. So kids, here's your instruction for the week. Are you listening? Go out there, Soph, and count the orange cars this week. I want to know next Sunday, how many orange cars do you guys see? But remember, it's not just about the orange cars. Thanks be to God. Amen.